How do the Pittsburgh Steelers use their wide receivers? Well, we're going to look at some charts that have charted out how they've executed their routes this year, specifically Deontay Johnson, and look at it, how it should compare to what the other Steelers receivers are doing and how it fits into Matt Canada's offense, as well as Mitch Trubisky's decision-making. We'll talk about that and a lot more here on the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Please hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content whenever we have time to release it. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNFL. Now, Steelers fans, I want to talk to you guys about the Steelers receivers specifically. We've spent a lot of time talking about quarterbacks, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, all of that, blah, blah, blah. They're part of it. But let's talk about the receivers and what they're doing down the field. Because, again, I can't show you guys the All-22 because that's the rules that we have here with our company. But I can show you guys graphics and things that have been put up there, like next-gen stats when they're able to produce routing charts. Now, unfortunately, they don't do it all the time for all the players, but we got two so far this year on routing charts, and that's from Deontay Johnson. And if you're a big Steelers fan, you're on Steelers Twitter, you've probably seen some of these images, and they've been used to kind of say, wow, what a thing about the middle part of the field. They're not using the middle part of the field. Now, I'm going to describe this so that our audio listeners on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everywhere can listen. But YouTubers, you can see this right here. So I want to show you Deontay Johnson's route chart against the Cincinnati Bengals in week one. And then I'm going to show you a chart up against Cleveland. But here, Deontay Johnson's chart here. You can see the large majority of his routes going towards the sidelines, working the sidelines, the outer parts of the field. Only one deep route that breaks towards the middle part of the field and one short route that does the same thing there. Now, you see that, you're thinking like, oh, wow, the middle part of the field, very vacant. It is with this route tree, and people ask what's going on there. And this is a theme, especially this year, because here's his route tree against the Browns just on last Thursday night. Even less route. There's no routes to the middle part of the field. All routes are going outside the boundaries towards the sidelines, working that space over there. And there's no routes going to the middle part of the field. So again, if you're a Steelers fan, you're thinking, well, wait a second. Where is the middle part of the field? This is on Matt Canada. And I can see how that could be misleading. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the route charts to show you all the route charts for Pat Freiermuth and Chase Claypool and George Pickens. We talked about this a little bit yesterday with Josh Taylor on the show for the Tuesday edition, which I encourage you to go back and watch to get the full sense of. But a big part of the reason that they don't want Deontay Johnson in the middle, because he's not an over-the-middle kind of guy. He doesn't do as well in traffic. He's much more of a separation guy. And let me tell you something. An easy way to get separation to make him an easier target for Mitch Trubisky to focus on is by putting him on the outside, where only usually one defender can be. And if the defense puts two defenders on the outside, you're taking away a lot of space that they could be covering. If you're committing two defenders to covering one sideline, it's going to force a lot of tougher decisions for other defenders who are trying to cover the rest of the part of the field. I know that there's a lot of people out there that think that Deontay Johnson's too shifty. Why aren't you using the middle part of the field? But I see merit in this plan, because guess what? And again, unfortunately, we don't have the charts to show this, but I can tell you as a person who studies the All-22, Chase Claypool is over that middle part of the field. Pat Freiermuth is over that middle part of the field. George Pickens, not as much as those two, but he gets there himself as well. I see both Claypool and both Freiermuth, and as well as Najee Harris when he goes out into route, a lot of those guys, they're the ones working the middle part of the field. And why are they working the middle part of the field? Because they're the bigger targets. They're the guys that can take the hits. They're the guys that can box out guys a lot easier. Deontay Johnson, when you put him over the middle part of the field where defenses do occupy with linebackers, safeties, more physical players, they're going to be that's going to be the times when he's not going to be able to use his separation to have as much of an impact when those guys are closing in on him and trying to lock him down. Now, granted, I think eventually you could put Deontay Johnson in that situation, but right now the Steelers are trying to give Mitch Trubisky opportunities for easy outs on plays. And here's the thing, again, you go back to last year, they did that more for Ben Roethlisberger. Now, granted, they were a lot shorter routes because his arm couldn't get the ball downfield as much, and he just wasn't making those decisions. But you look at what Mitch Trubisky's doing, even when they've opened up the middle part of the field for Chase Claypool, for Pat Freiermuth, that's the problem, is that he's not throwing it to those guys in those spaces. So I look at this and I say, a lot of people who are saying, Deontay Johnson, why isn't he going over the middle part of the field as much? It's because he's the best separator you got, and that gives the easiest window for Mitch Trubisky to trust. If his other reads aren't there, he knows that he can go to him and most likely get a one-on-one situation that he would like on those outside parts. And if they're doubling him out there, it would make his reads to the inside part of the field a lot easier. Now, here's the problem that the Steelers have run into. Mitch Trubisky hasn't made a lot of those inside reads as much this year, unless it's been like in a 2-minute drill, and then he's forcing the ball over the middle. And then you see Pat Freiermuth is there. Chase Claypool is there. They need to get him to see that part of the field. And there's always the saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think that's very much a situation that the Steelers are in right now with Mitch Trubisky, because they continue to call plays to get him options in the middle part of the field. I showed you against the Patriots a play where they doubled up Pickens and Claypool in the middle part of the field. They put the middle safety in a position where either he'd help against Claypool and Pickens will be open, or he'd help against Pickens and Claypool will be open. He helped against Claypool. Pickens was wide open for a touchdown. Mitch Trubisky checked it down to Pat Freiermuth, and he wasn't under pressure. Pocket was fine. He just didn't even bother even looking at that matchup. And it's those type of things that I think the Steelers understand, hey, this guy isn't seeing these type of reads that we're building for him, these concepts, these conflicts in the secondary that we're creating for him to figure out. We've got to simplify things. And one of the easiest reads you can make is, hey, I know one-on-one on the outside, it's my best separator, the guy that's really tough for any defensive back to keep up with in this league. He's gonna run a comeback, he's gonna run a hook, he's gonna run out, and I have a certain window there to hit him and know that I don't got to worry about where the linebacker is, where the safety is. I just got to worry about where that sideline cornerback is. And if that guy playing the boundary is backed off, that's my target. And I think all of that is trying to get Mitch Trubisky an easy read. That's not saying, hey, they don't trust Deontay Johnson in the middle part of the field. I think it's saying, hey, you trust him on the outside of the field while you trust the bigger guys to work the inside of the field, so that hopefully Mitch Trubisky finds the comfort level to use it. Because again, Chase Claypool's going over the middle. You can see that in some of the third down conversions he's had. Pat Freiermuth's going over the middle. You can see that with the touchdown he had against the Patriots. The options are there. It's about taking them. And I get it. You see those passing charts for Deontay Johnson, and it's frustrating because you're like, man, why isn't he using the middle part of the field? Well, the Steelers, he's their number one wide receiver. They paid him the number one wide receiver money. So if you put him in easier situations for Mitch Trubisky to notice him, it's going to give him more outs and plays where he can get first downs, move the sticks, and stretch out drives. The problem is, Mitch Trubisky hasn't done that enough. We're not done talking about this topic because I do want to touch on this a little bit more. We'll also talk a little bit of defense with Alex Highsmith later in this episode. But first, we got to talk to you guys about LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn, of course, is the ultimate place that people are going to, one, if you're looking for a job, and two, if you're looking for someone to hire for a job. So as you're gearing up, it's fall, you need someone to get in your office if you're a small business owner, and there's an easy way to do it by going to LinkedIn Jobs. It's going to make it easier for you to talk to the people that you actually want to, so that you can get them into your offices. And if they offer a free service here, all you have to do is create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network at LinkedIn of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, so that your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy for you to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're continuing to talk about how the Steelers use their wide receivers and really all of their targets, because it's not just their wide receivers. As I've said before, I think a lot of this offense is going to eventually have to run through Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth for their biggest plays to work that middle part of the field. And that's not just with Mitch Trubisky. That's the day whenever Kenny Pickett gets his chance to start in this offense. But you have a running back and a developing offensive line. It's getting better each week. And Mike Tomlin even brought that up in his presser. But you know, a lot of what the Steelers have to do in these coming weeks is to find easier reads for Mitch Trubisky to understand, to trust, and to not feel as terrified to target in. And rest assured, and again, Josh Taylor brought this up, there may be a part of Mitch Trubisky that is just extremely nervous about making any mistake, because he knows every interception that he throws makes it easier for Kenny Pickett to get the option behind him and for his time as the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers to come to an end. But if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you want him playing freely. And I think this is the biggest thing that I have a criticism about Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin with how they've handled Mitch Trubisky. Give him the reins to call an audible or at least a couple hot reads. And that's been noted to be a truth. There's other things that I think are stretched a bit much, like people saying like the Steelers are mutinying against Matt Canada. There's all these comments. And then I know Brian Batko, who we've had on the show, he's of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, a colleague of mine there. He'll post the full quotes of what players are saying. And you see them saying, no, we're in the right position. We need to execute. No, we're being put in the right places. We need to get this done. You know, we think this offense is very close. We just have to touch up some details. That's more so what Mason Cole, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, all those guys are saying, not, you know, these play calls are terrible. We don't believe in our coordinator. We want to just go rogue and do everything. And we've also heard from players who you clarified. Mason Cole clarified this, on last Monday when, you know, people were talking about how Mitch Trubisky's comment brought up how, oh, well, the Steelers, the players are in the huddle. They're trying to change the plays. Well, no, they're not trying to play the trading plays. They're saying, get me the football. I can do it. That happens in most NFL huddles. Now, I will say it didn't happen for a long time because Ben Roethlisberger was Ben Roethlisberger. And when you have a guy like a Ben Roethlisberger, like a Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, anybody that's run a franchise for as long as they have and has that pedigree of being an eventual Hall of Famer, people don't go to them and say, throw me the ball as much. But if you are a longtime Steelers fan, you remember there was a time when that was going on with Antonio Brown back in 2013 when he was still trying to assert himself into the Steelers offense. Even under Todd Haley, who we all know is a better offensive coordinator according to a lot of people than I think the Steelers have had over the years. A lot of people talked about that. There were times where it was obvious he was saying, get me the ball, throw me the ball. That's what the Steelers offense, the offensive players are doing right now. Just saying, hey, I can make a play. Everyone wants to be that person. Now, here's where Mitch Trubisky comes into play. There is he needs to have the leadership to be able to calm down those moments and say, hey, guys, let's run it. I'll get you the ball, but you got to trust me. And I think that's the biggest thing that Mitch Trubisky lacks is that he doesn't have that command that kind of silences everyone, that everyone trusts him and everything moves forward. And that's fine because, you know what, Ben Roethlisberger didn't have that immediately either. He was kind of the passenger on those early Steelers teams and then developed into the leader that everyone kind of just had to listen to and get behind. But as a person who covered Kenny Pickett, that's who Kenny Pickett can be and I think will be for the Pittsburgh Steelers because he is a big-time leader. And I think that's one of the biggest qualities that Mike Tomlin liked about him. But again, back to how the route trees are used and how the Steelers offense can be deployed. Again, when you're looking at those Deontay Johnson outside routes, you're drawing away the attention of cornerbacks. You know someone has to commit to him, and sometimes if you can get a double team on him out in that space, that's going to open up opportunities. The Steelers need to find ways to get Mitch Trubisky to see the combination that they're putting together. Because again, I can't show you the All-22 on this channel, but I can tell you the All-22 shows they're combinating guys off of each other. They're building their route concepts are building off of each other to show, hey, cornerbacks, safeties, linebackers, when they're in situations, especially if they're in zone, they're going to have to make some tough decisions, and it's going to give you windows to throw through. But it's tough for Mitch Trubisky to commit to them because, again, this is why the quarterback position is one of the hardest spots to play in all of sports, not just football. It is the hardest position to play in football, but it's one of the hardest things to do in all of sports because you have to consider so many different things. And Mitch Trubisky is a guy we saw in his time with Chicago, in his time here in Pittsburgh. He's not as confident trying to decipher the middle part of the field because he's so worried about guys coming from out of nowhere and making plays. And it's having that confidence, having that strength, that resolve in your studies, in your reads and how you've processed the defense and trusting your eyes and trusting your anticipation to know what the defense is doing. And he just hasn't shown that. So I think for Mitch Trubisky, again, going back to my point earlier, I think a big thing what he's trying to do is he's trying to protect the football. And to be fair, that's also something the Steelers are telling him to do. And that's the way the tough balance here comes from. You know, I saw a commenter in the YouTube section saying, oh, Chris was upset with Josh Taylor because he didn't blame Mitch Trubisky for everything. I don't blame Mitch Trubisky for anything. Again, I've said a million times, Matt Canada's not absolved of fault here. Neither is Deontay Johnson for some of his drops, or Pat Freiermuth, or Najee Harris, or Chase Claypool, or anybody. Everyone shares a big hand in this. I just think that Mitch Trubisky's decision-making is the biggest thing that if that could be fixed, if that part can work for it, everything else would fall into place for this offense because the play calls are there. Chase Claypool is going over the middle. George Pickens is going over the middle. Pat Freiermuth is going over the middle, and they're getting open. And there's times when they're in the middle and they're covered that other guys are open. There's a really interesting clip of the Steelers in all 22 where Mitch Trubisky's trying to force it to Pat Freiermuth over the middle and it's broken up and you see George Pickens run a curl pattern and I think it was like a 10 yard just stop, turns around, nobody's around him. And I mean his defender's 10 yards off of him. There's no linebacker or safety coming over to help and he's just so wide open and you see George Pickens in that moment, like when the ball goes to Pat Freiermuth and is incomplete, you can see on the all 22 before the camera cuts that he immediately it just starts like you see the frustration because he just starts throwing his hands down and you can see the anger, the frustration in his body language. It didn't take an expert to see all of that. So, you know, again, I look at what the Steelers are doing right now. And I say, like, you know, there's a plan to get things going, but a lot of this still depends on Mitch Trubisky taking what's there. And if you're one of those people, again, we talked about this yesterday with the whole Kenny Pickett situation. Well, Chris, why don't they start Kenny Pickett? I think they want to put Kenny Pickett in when there isn't so much turmoil because, again, George Pickens, you know, calling for, you know, is calling for the ball and he's not getting it. I think there was an interesting post here, and I don't buy too much into this all the time, but I thought this was an interesting catch here from our friend Zachary Smith. He's a host of the Around the 412 podcast. Go check out their content; they do a great job. But Smitty, if you've ever heard of him, he's a good dude. But he posted on Twitter how George Pickens follows Kenny Pickett on Instagram, but he don't follow Mitch Trubisky, and there's a lot of Steelers receivers that don't follow Mitch Trubisky, and it looks like maybe there's a rift there. And again, I'm not saying that there's a need to get rid of Mitch Trubisky entirely, but you can see the physical frustration from these guys. And again, as I brought this up before, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, they've been through it with Ben Roethlisberger when he has made poor reads and poor decisions and left wide open guys, but they know they couldn't say anything because that's not what you're supposed to do to the franchise quarterback. You respect him for that. And I think that even though Mitch Trubisky isn't that, there is a sense for them like, hey, we have to exhibit patience here because we've done that before. We're used to that. But even them, there was a play in the 2-minute drill where Deontay Johnson gets wide open and Mitch Trubisky was staring right at him. He just threw it away too early. And if he just could anticipate what the defense was going to do a little bit better and show the transition of studying the defenses in the classroom from transition that to the field in those studies, I think you'd get more of those results. But you see Deontay Johnson on that play, he gets overthrown and it's thrown to the bleachers. And Deontay Johnson's just like, you see him come on, but you don't hear Deontay Johnson saying we need to get Mitch Trubisky up out of it. You don't see them, you know, the Steelers doing that. Now you do see a little bit of finger pointing as far as like, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. But I think part of that's just natural when you have a very young offense. You know, Chase Claypool, rookie contract. George Pickens, rookie contract. Pat Freiermuth, rookie contract. Najee Harris, rookie contract. All in there with a quarterback who just got here for the first year and an offensive line that's still learning to play with each other. This entire offense is still learning to play with each other. And when you have that level of uncertainty and there's no rock there who knows this offense, who's been around and who commands that respect like Ben Roethlisberger did, there's going to be that turmoil. Now, again, that doesn't mean that Ben Roethlisberger made the right decisions last year, because there were plenty of times you looked at the All-22 and you're like, oh, Ben, you were missing that one. He missed as many passes as Mitch Trubisky is doing this year as well. But the difference was you respect Ben Roethlisberger, and this is where I think Ben Roethlisberger does give you the edge. Ben Roethlisberger, even last year, does have an edge over Mitch Trubisky this year, whereas Mitch Trubisky has mobility. Ben Roethlisberger had command, had respect, and knew how to handle the big and the tough moments. And that was something that Mike Tomlin even said in the Pivot podcast over the summer. He was like, that dude, you know, when everyone was going crazy and everyone was losing their minds at the end of the game and defenders were freaking out, that dude stayed on exactly who he was all the time, and that allowed him to stay focused and make the plays. That's a part that Mitch Trubisky doesn't have, and that's a big part, I think, of the respect issue that we're talking about there. So this is not an easy formula to fix until the Steelers, I think, you know, find some rhythm in their offense and get Mitch Trubisky to calm down in those moments to make those right reads. But until that happens, I think you're going to see a lot of the same things. And that's why I think the Steelers offense is still going to struggle for the next few weeks. And that's where I think a lot of people are worried, you know, can they beat the Jets? And if they don't beat the Jets, can they beat any of the next four teams in the Bills, the Bucks, the Eagles, and the Dolphins? Because all four of those teams have looked really tough at times this year. So it's not a doom and gloom situation, but it's a place where you can see it's not as black and white. It's not as clear cut as some people try to make it out to be. I think a lot of it does come down to Mitch's decision-making, but also what goes into the mindset of that decision-making is going to be a big part of how he continues this season. I want to talk some defense because I think Alex Highsmith is a very big part of this upcoming game. We'll talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. It's the Wednesday edition. I wanted to go over with you guys more stuff about how this defense can kind of get back on track. Now, I talked about this a little bit throughout the week. But when I was going over this and I was thinking like, okay, you know, this defense, they didn't have the same kind of punch they had against the Bengals, but what was the difference? They were exhausted. They were tired. This is the week to get all of that out. Now, for those who might have missed it, Tyson Alualu was moved back on set to the second on the depth chart. Montrevious Adams moved up to first nose tackle on the depth chart. Mike Tomlin said, hey, that directly reflects, you know, Tyson Alualu hasn't getting it done. Montrevious Adams has. And you can definitely see in the film, Tyson Alualu just ain't that guy. And that's okay. The guy's like, what, 35 years old? He missed an entire season to injury. You know, you're not always going to be the same guy that you were at some point, and that's fine. Montrevious Adams, a younger body, he could have an upstart, kind of a play to him. I think he'll be quicker off the ball, maybe a little bit stronger in those points. That's why they kept him around this year. So, we'll see how that plays out. But beyond that, this Steelers defense has to get back to creating turnovers. They created 5 in week 1, and they've created 1 since, of course, with Minkah Fitzpatrick's interception. Minkah Fitzpatrick, by the way, in the concussion protocol, something to definitely watch throughout the week. But Mike Tomlin didn't seem too bothered by it. He was just like, I'm not going to speculate on what's happening here. We'll see if he comes out of the concussion protocol by the time game day rolls around. But a player who I think can be a difference maker and a game wrecker in this game could very well be Alex Highsmith. Now, Alex Highsmith, if you have been listening to and watching this show all offseason, I said this is his breakout year. Last year, people started to respect him. I think the entire NFL will come to know who he is after this season is all said and done. I've liked his progression. I've liked his mindset. I've talked to him a lot in the preseason and training camp. Even during the season, we've had a few good talks. I think he is on the right mind. He is very much taken after a lot of the good training habits that TJ Watt has. And he has his own good training habits that I think is going to make him a great NFL football player. And right now he leads the NFL in sacks with 4.5 right now. So I think he's doing a lot right there. But this is a game where I think he can truly take over. The Jets have allowed 9 sacks so far. That's 7th most in the NFL. They've also committed 7 turnovers. That's 3rd most in the NFL. They also have a -3 turnover differential. That's the 2nd worst in the NFL. If there was a time for the Steelers defense to show, even without TJ Watt, that they can be a tough group that can set the tone and get the, and care and lead the team to a win, this is the time to do it. I don't care if Joe Flacco plays or Zachary Wilson plays. You have to abuse this offensive line. Both their starting offensive tackles, Dwayne Brown and Mekhi Becton, are down. The number 2 left tackle right now is a guy who I truly think that Alex Highsmith could handle well, and George Fant, but even he's questionable going into this week. So we'll see how he practices this week. He might end up playing, but Alex Highsmith needs to beat up on these guys, and he needs to step into a role where he's not just a contributor. He's not a role player that's doing well. He needs to be a game breaker in this situation. He needs to be an X factor. Because here's the crazy part. If during this time without TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith evolves into that game record, to that guy that team's starting to say, hey, we have to roll double extra help to his side and 2 blockers to his side. We have to double team him. What happens when TJ Watt comes back and is fully healthy? What happens when Cam Hayward and him and Highsmith are all now people that you feel that you have to double team? You're going to force a lot of problems. And this is a game where, one, I do feel like it is a must-win game. The Steelers got to win this game so that they don't go into, you know, the gauntlet of the next 4 or 5 games, you know, down 1-3. If they're 2-2, I think that if they steal a game, they're in a situation where they can build off of that going into the bye week and maybe recover in the second half of the season, that I do think has an easier schedule that, going forward. But again, I think this is a chance where Alex Highsmith can lead the charge for the defense. If they get after the quarterback, well, again, whether it's Joe Flacco, whether it's Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson is rumored to be able to return this week. If he can be the difference maker, if he can beat his man, the left tackle there, whether it's George Fant or whether it's the third string guy that they might throw out there, he needs to take advantage of them all game long. And the rest of the defense has to make it happen too, because, you know, TJ Watt couldn't make as many of the sacks that he did last year if it wasn't for the rest of the defense getting after quarterbacks. And I think this is, again, where it comes down to these guys being fresh, these guys having a bit of a longer weekend, and being able to come into a game fully charged. That means, hey, Larry Ogunjobi, you got to be stepping up too. Cam Hayward, you got to get back to being on your A game. And we know Cam Hayward can do that. He's shown that throughout his career. But even Malik Reed, who also facing a backup starting right tackle, you got to be able to show up. And Malik Reed doesn't have to dominate, but if he can just hold his position down, turn back the run to the inside on his edge, and occasionally win in the pass rush, I think those type of things can get after this Jets team. Their offensive line is really beat up. Their quarterback situation, you know, you don't trust Joe Flacco or Zach Wilson at this point. They're committing lots of turnovers, a lot of them 3 interceptions from Joe Flacco. I believe he's fumbled 4 times this year as well. This is a chance for them to take over the game. And if they start taking over the game, if they're able to limit Breece Hall, Michael Carter, and those running backs, it could allow the defense to get back to creating turnovers this week and get back into the common net. The Bengals created 5 turnovers against the Jets last week. This needs to be the week that the Steelers find a way to replicate that kind of success again this game. Maybe not replicate as in 5 turnovers themselves, but definitely they have to be able to create multiple turnovers in this game and in key moments, to not allow the Jets to put up a lot of points, because you got to make it so that your offense doesn't have to do much, and maybe they can find their identity and not having to do much. But that's how the defense can lead this team, even if TJ Watt's not playing. Now, I will say this, if Minkah Fitzpatrick's not playing, now you're putting this defense behind the 8 ball, and you're not playing a team with a first team all-pro edge rusher and a first team all-pro safety. Losing both of those guys can crush you, but we'll see how that plays out. We're not sure about his injury status just yet. We'll see if he comes out of the concussion protocol. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. We got a lot more coming your way. We've got Locked On Jets crossover coming on Thursday's episode. And of course, we'll be wrapping up the week with Jenna Harner from Channel 11 WPXI on Friday. Stay tuned for all of that and more here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Follow me, Chris Carter, on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Also on Instagram at Carter Critiques. Read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover Pitt football, Pitt basketball, and all of Pitt athletics. All the Pitt fall programs are nationally ranked right now. That's amazing. Great job for them and athletic director Heather Like. But more on that at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Also, more on your Pittsburgh Steelers right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. I'll be back tomorrow with our Crossover Thursday episode. We'll see you then.